Hey, everybody. It's time for episode 73 of the Bill and Wendy Show. I'm Bill Leff. That's Wendy Snyder. I think those are the basics. Wendy, what else do people need to know?
I think you've about covered it.
Wouldn't it be fun if on the podcast from now on we did, like, remember on Hill Street Blues, they'd go, previously on Hill Street Blues, and then you'd see some clips from previous shows? Maybe we should do that.
You know how much work that would be?
No, just tape it off of Hill Street Blues. Have the guy just go, previously on Hill Street Blues, and just run clips from that show.
All right, let's do that.
That would help a lot. People were wondering what Lucy Bates' character was up to, but now they don't have to anymore. How are you? Everything good?
Lucy Bates, who played that role?
Betty
her name? Thomas. Was that her?
Betty Thomas.
Okay.
From Second City. Yes.
I liked her. She did a good job. That was a great show.
You know, back then, it was a great show. And it was so good that I can't watch other cop shows because I still feel like I'm cheating on Hill Street Blues. If another cop show comes on, I'm like, ah, it's no Hill Street Blues. But back then, this is how television has changed over the years. Back then, every once in a while, a major character on the show would get killed, and you didn't know it was coming. Like now, you see special, you know, you'll be watching Entertainment Tonight or Access Hollywood, and they'll go, after three seasons on the show, he decided to leave, and his character will be rubbed out soon, you know, and you go, oh, I know he's going to die. But back then, when a character died, it took you by storm. You didn't know it was coming.
That's because there was no internet.
Right. You're right.
And
you're absolutely right.
I certainly liked NYPD Blue. That was also a pretty great show.
Yes, it was. Except, you know what was weird about NYPD Blue is they spent a lot of time looking at each other nervously. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anytime there was a shot in, you know, the precinct, you had a lot, like somebody would say something and everybody would give each other kind of the side eye. Like, oh, I wonder what that means. You know, like that.
Yeah, and the herky-jerky camera kind of made me a little seasick.
Right, right.
But the best part of NYPD Blue, two things, actually. One was Sipowicz's short sleeve shirts with a tie and Sipowicz's butt, which we saw a lot.
Did you ever think you'd say that out loud, that was one of the best parts of the show? But how about a quick nod to Dennis Franz for being brave enough to know there were certainly better looking guys on the show, more fit, but he still, you know, he saw it in the script and he goes, yeah, all right, I'll do it. I guess I have to do it. I'll do it.
I have to be honest with you. His butt was not that slouchy.
I wonder how the ratings did in that particular episode at that particular moment. Were there people who just turned it off and went, you know what, I don't need to watch TV anymore? Were there people who were attracted to it? Like, I hope this is taping because I'm going to watch this again later.
In slow motion.
In slow-mo. Frame by frame, like the Zabruder film. The Zabutter film. There had to have been a second cameraman because look at the way he captured the cheeks from the side. There must have been two cameramen.
I loved that show.
Well, you used to do, when you and I started working together, you did a NYPD Blue update every week, remember?
Yes, featuring the Sipowicz quote of the week.
Yes.
Because he always had some, and I think they were able to say the word a-hole on TV.
That may have been the first primetime show. They'd say it on Kukla, Fran, and Ollie all the time, but I don't think they ever said it on primetime.
Ollie was an a-hole.
Oh, he was. On screen and off. It got to where Kukla, he would do the show. Kukla would come in and do the show, but off stage they never spoke anymore. You know that story. And it took a lot to rile Kukla. I mean, he'd been through two wars. I don't know. You could read about it in the book. Did you always think, because Dennis Franz was the guy that most of the country looked at as the prototypical Chicagoan, that he spoke Chicagoese, he dressed Chicago, he everything about him just smelled Chicago. Did you think that or not?
Yeah, I thought he did he had an accurate portrayal of a Chicago cop, don't you?
Well, it's funny because you know how we've been stereotyped, Chicagoans have been stereotyped by the Dub Bears scenes on Saturday Night Live.
Which that is not accurate.
That's not accurate, but Sipowicz is like a version of that. Like, he would fit in with those guys, don't you think?
Yeah, probably. Although he, I don't know, I, you know, Da Bears, that made me laugh, whatever. They did a good job with that. But honestly, it just, like, I always hated when I went on vacation and somebody said, hey, where are you from? Chicago. They'd be like, oh, Al Capone. Yeah,
right.
You know what? There's
right.
more to Chicago than that.
Right. We also have pizza. And Oprah for a few minutes.
Yeah. Italian
Michael
beef.
Michael Jordan for a little. Yep. Yep.
Michael yep. Jordan. Speaking of food, do you know that, do you have like a favorite fast food restaurant that you frequent?
I don't have a favorite. There's a couple in late rotation, but you do, don't you?
I love Taco Bell.
Do you? Yeah.
I really do. I know it's not Mexican food, but it is really good. Give me a couple that are in rotation for you. I want to hear the difference between our fast food joints.
I think that Portillo's has the finest chicken sandwich available.
I really do. Portillo's has the best hot dog and Polish and fries, and their beef's yeah. not too shabby either.
Wendy, I was in one once, and there was a picture of Jim Belushi up. Can you imagine?
You know, I've been watching his, he has a reality series.
Wait, does he really?
Yeah, he's growing pot. In his Oregon
really?
Farm, yeah. And it's, listen, John Belushi had all the talent in that family. I
Ooh.
Know that. I mean, no,
Ooh.
He did. And Jim will admit that. And, you know, Jim's been pretty successful in, you know, what was that show, According to Jim?
According to Jim, yeah.
This show I kind of like because he's just being himself and he really is just deciding to, he's become a pot farmer in Oregon where he has a ranch.
Is that true? I
yeah.
didn't know any of that. Wow.
And I don't know which episode this was. Jim was watching it and I just kind of.
Can I ask a serious question?
Yes.
I know this is horrible to say, but I mean this. If you had a brother or a sister that was close to you, and drugs played an important part in their demise, would you then go on to make that your career?
Well, it's funny you say that, Bill, because he goes on to explore. There are a lot of benefits of pot.
Yeah.
And that's why it's been approved for medical use and recreational use.
Yeah.
And he believes that if John had smoked more pot and calmed himself in that respect, perhaps he wouldn't have turned to the harder stuff.
Oh, all right.
And
that's an interesting idea. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's true. I mean, I'm just saying that's his philosophy. And there are a lot of people, it's used to treat anxiety. And, of course, you know, pain, cancer patients who lose their appetite use edibles typically because, you know, smoking anything is not good for your lungs. And in these COVID times, you shouldn't, you know.
Yep. In these uncertain COVID times.
Yeah, you shouldn't make your lungs work any harder than they're probably already going
right.
to have to do. But this particular episode that I watched, they were, all right, again, it's COVID time, so I don't know when this was recorded, but Dan Aykroyd and Jim Belushi take their Blues Brothers on the road and they perform at various fests and such. I don't know if they're still doing it, but when this was recorded. So he wanted to talk to Dan Aykroyd about getting his approval to take this certain kind of weed and put the Blues Brothers logo on it. But he had to get Dan Aykroyd's permission.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not going to spoil it because I know you're going to run right out and watch it. But It's kind of an entertaining little reality thing, although I want to say I liked the Eddie Money reality show, too.
Right.
They're very similar to me, where they're kind of supposedly it's a reality show, but you can tell they're acting a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But it's pretty enjoyable. I have to be honest with you.
Don't you feel, though, to some extent that you're being taken advantage of because they call these shows reality shows? When we both know that they're not scripted fully, but ideas are planted, like before the episode, they go, what would happen if these guys went to a county fair? And then they go to a county fair. So it's not reality like what's reality anymore?
Right.
I don't know what reality is anymore. But it's not true reality. It's forced reality.
But that doesn't bother me because when
you're okay with that?
Yeah, because when you watch a movie or a television show, that's scripted as well.
What?
And so it doesn't really bother me. I know. I enjoy Big Brother. You're watching some things, but it's all been edited because when people come off of Big Brother, they say, "Oh yeah, they edited that to make me look this way," and whatever. I just like to escape from the real world and watch whatever's in front of me. That's really
on a lot of shows. There's a lot of reaction shots. Somebody will say one housewife is mad at another. And she'll say, "I hope she drowns in her pool." And then cut to Deborah, who's very upset. Then cut to the other Deborah without the H at the end of her name, and she's upset. And then the third Deborah's furious, and they just show the reaction shots. But it didn't happen that way. A lot of times those shots are taken from other moments. You know, they just insert them to make it look more, you know, like there's more suspense and anger.
Yeah. You know, what is real anymore? Seriously.
I don't know either.
So you like a Portillo's.
For a chicken sandwich, I would do a Portillo's. White Castle, of course, every once in a while, never to excess, but every now and then.
I just went there last weekend.
So will you wait another 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks or five before going back? I think I go about once a quarter.
Yeah, I'll wait a few months. I really like White Castle when I'm having them, and I have them sober now, where in years past that was your, you know, late night, let's grab some sliders.
Yeah.
They're fine. I you know, people are like, "Oh, I get so sick from baloney." There's nothing wrong. In fact, I think that beef is probably better than what's served at other restaurants. It's supposedly 100% pure beef.
Right. I just miss the show. Like, for a long time when you went to White Castle, they had wherever they were preparing the hamburgers was a glass partition.
Yes.
And you could watch the show. And they've taken that element away for some reason. I don't like it.
Yeah, it was kind of fun watching them. You know, you put the onions down first, then you lay all the little square patties with the holes in it on top, let it steam, and then the top bun, and they'd use the spatula to put underneath that pile and put it on a bottom bun. It was kind of impressive to watch that.
Sometime you'd get what I would call a hamburger technician who was so good at what they did that they wouldn't even watch. Like, they'd be talking to a coworker, or they'd be looking at something else. You know, they wouldn't even watch. Their hands were so accustomed to the movement of building those little hamburgers that they didn't even need to see it anymore. That was truly amazing.
Like a card dealer at a casino.
Yeah. And then like a card dealer, like at a blackjack table, they would hold their hands up at the end of their shift, but they didn't have to. They just did it to be, you know, a little more dangerous looking. But I just, you know, I used to take Terry. I'd say, "Let's go during a show." And it was always at White Castle. It was a good time.
Any other ones?
I also like, you know what else? Burger King now does that Impossible Burger that tastes just like a Whopper, but, you know, is made out of non-meat meat.
Yes.
I think it's made out of something else. I don't want to know what it is.
Snails.
Don't tell me what it is. It's plant-based. Is it snails? I'm
yes.
fine with that. So that's been good. You know, it just depends. Every once in a while, a Wendy's, not that often, but every once in a while. How about you? What's in it for you?
Again, Taco Bell would be like if I.
That's the king.
I mean, Portillo's to me is a step above that, and that is just, I really love their hot dogs. If I want a hot dog, I'm going to Portillo's.
Yeah.
But Taco Bell, we probably do once a month. They removed the Mexi Melt, which I didn't like. I didn't dislike it. I just never ordered it. I have a.
You just wanted it to be there, though.
Yeah, and my kids and husband always got a Mexi Melt. That was like just always, and that was pretty simple. It was just, you know, a tortilla with some beef and some pico de gallo and cheese. That's it. It was cheap, and it was good to eat in the car if you were starving, because it wasn't messy. It was all wrapped up. They got rid of that. A lot of people complained, but now they're getting rid of so many things. Most importantly, the Mexican pizza. That is like kind of one of my go-to things.
Why are they getting rid of it? What happened? It's been there forever.
I thought so too. I was talking to Jim about this, and I said, I think a Mexican pizza was one of the earliest items there. It wasn't like, you know, at the beginning. They have, they have no reason. It must not be selling well.
Maybe it takes up too much space in the limited back room that they cook the food in. Is that possible?
Yeah, maybe.
Is that, yeah, maybe.
Because that's a crunchy shell, and perhaps they have to prepare them differently.
Yeah, maybe. But have you written to anybody? Have you written to the higher-ups at Taco Bell?
I don't know what to do anymore, Bill, because, you know, usually social media will make a difference. You know, if there's a television show that's gone or they want, like, Betty White to host SNL, you get this social media campaign going.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm the one to be able to save the Mexican pizza.
Yeah, but someone has to spearhead it. And who better than you? A person whose family has lived and died by it.
Just me. No one else really likes it that much.
Yeah.
They already lost their Mexi Melt, but now the Mexican pizza, now that affects me.
That's serious. Last year, Taco Bell had, well, maybe it might have been 2 years ago, they had a drink that was like a watermelon freeze. Did you ever have that?
They have the Baja Blast Freeze that is really good.
They have that.
They have a pineapple.
They have a pineapple one.
Yeah, but
I've had that.
I don't recall the watermelon.
The watermelon was good, and it had little, it looked like watermelon seeds, but they were just little candies that were shaped like watermelon seeds. But that was always delicious, you know, along with your food. I really think you should get on them to keep your favorite food there.
All right. If you
I
insist.
Really think you should.
And also the Doritos Locos Tacos is going away.
That's going away too?
And the
I'm
cool,
surprised.
The Cool Ranch Taco. Now that, in my opinion, should have gone away a long time ago.
Yeah, right.
But,
Know, they test this stuff pretty extensively before they either add it or get rid of it.
But who do they test?
They always, did you ever see like in a lot of shopping malls, when there used to be shopping malls, there'd be like a marketing group that would bring you into a back room and they'd either give you food, show you a film or do something and then you'd react to it.
Were those the people walking around the malls with the clipboard that you really tried to avoid?
Yeah, Lincoln Mall. I must have been, you know, Lincoln Mall went up when I was in grade school. It was in Matson. And I can't tell you how many times I was part of a survey. And they'd always give you... I think they gave you $3 or something like that, which is more than I'm making now. Actually, when you and I hang up, I'm going to head back to Lincoln Mall and see if they need me for a survey. But I, over the years, I was probably in a dozen or 15 different surveys where they'd show you a little clip of something. Is this a movie you would go to see? And then they'd show you a clip, or they'd give you some sort of food and they'd go, look, these are like potato skins, but instead of potatoes, we used radishes. And I go, I don't even need it. Thank you. I don't need it. Taste that. I want my $3, though.
I can't believe you participated because I worked at North Riverside Park Mall, especially for you.
Especially for you.
I worked at the Gap there. And
one of the surveys I did, Wendy, is they played that song for us and they asked us if we liked the song.
Well, and I used to hang out there with my friends on the weekends because they're really, you know, it was a brand new mall. You really had nothing to do before you drove. So your parents would drop you off at the mall and you'd walk around. And I avoided those people with the clipboards like the plague.
Did you know there was $3 in it for you?
No.
Oh, Wendy. One time I was there with my parents and my brother was there too. He needed pants for some sacrament. I think he was either having his first communion or first confession, or maybe he was becoming a priest and he was getting that. I don't know what was happening, but he needed pants, obviously. So we went to Lincoln Mall and then I went off on my own and I was supposed to meet my parents at 8 o'clock at a certain place. And then it's just like 2 minutes before eight and this woman comes up with the clipboard and she goes, do you have time for a survey? And I'm like, $3? Yes. Right. So she takes me into a back room. And I was in there for like a half an hour, you know, and then when I got out, my parents were not pleased because, you know, it was time to go home and they thought I was kidnapped, which brought mixed emotions to my parents. You'd think they'd be more upset, but they were like, you know, there's good and bad in every situation.
Did they force you to hand over the $3 since you made them wait?
No, but part of my reasoning was... You know, they pay you for these surveys. And my dad laughs and goes, what do they give you, like $5? And I'm like, yeah, but because I didn't want it. Then $3 would have seemed measly,
right.
You know. Yeah, they gave me $5.
Were you the only one in that back room?
No, there was other people. But the funniest question was, now keep in mind, I was in grade school. So the people doing these surveys didn't really care about, you know, the details. So they go, first name, and I gave them my first name, last name. Are you a resident of the state of Illinois? I go, yes. They go, are you currently married? And I'm like, in sixth grade. So I'm like, not currently, no. But, you know, the mall's jumping on the weekend. Get me on Saturday.
Like, they can't deviate from the script at all right. when they see you're right. a little kid.
Right. I am not currently married at the age of 12, no.
I'm surprised they let you. I thought you had to be like 18 or over to participate in these surveys.
Well, it depended on what they were testing. There were two different there was one time where it was a candy, so that one was great for kids. Sometimes they just, you know, because everybody else just shunned those people, so they would take anybody, you know. So then I'm answering questions about Palmolive. Like, I don't use a whole lot of Palmolive, but when I do, it's always a pleasant experience.
Excuse me, young married sir. Do you know who right. Madge is?
that's so funny. Are there any, I just want to ask you one more fast food question. Are there any fast food places from the past, not items, not menu items, but fast food places that you miss more than others?
I still go to the Cock Robin. I will give
yeah,
you a Cock Robin.
Answer.
I grew
Solid
up.
Answer.
Yeah, I grew up in Brookfield, and there was a you know there were a handful of Cock Robins, and one was walking distance, a little walk from our house, but
worth it.
Yes, I loved their steak burgers. I doubt they were really steak.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I liked the. I think they called it a jumbo cone, where it was three different colors of sherbet in the square scoops that they had. Pretty delish.
That sounds so good. They mastered the flavor of chocolate marshmallow, which is very hard to find now, but for some reason in the 60s and 70s, everybody had a version of it. Theirs was by far the best.
Where was the Cock Robin you frequented?
I think it's the same one you went to.
That was a long haul for you.
Well, we at the time, you know, we lived in Stickney in a castle.
Right.
By the industrial park, there was a little zoned area that was all castles, and we lived in there.
I forgot you lived there for a brief moment before you moved to Oak Forest.
Yeah, I lived there from the time I was zero until I was three or four. But there was one Cock Robin that had a very odd parking lot because it was angled strangely. There was something in the middle. It wasn't a photo mat, but it was something like a photo mat. Does that one ring a bell to you at all?
There was one on the corner of LaGrange Road and Ogden as well. And that,
oh, yeah, I've been to that one.
And then there was, up until recently, one in Naperville.
I remember that one.
And
that one in downtown Naperville for a long time.
I just said Naperville.
Oh, you did? I'm sorry. You cut out for just a second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You cut out for a second. I didn't hear it.
Yeah.
My new thing, Wendy, is whatever you say, I'm just going to say it again. It's so much easier than coming up with original thoughts.
I know you are, but what am I? God, you bring me back. You were probably doing that with your brother as you went to Cock Robin. You'd just repeat things.
The whole way.
That is so irritating when little kids do that.
Can I tell you one that I miss that I don't even know if you'll remember? It didn't last here for a long time, but they had them in Florida and the South. Do you remember a hamburger place called Wuv's, W-U-V apostrophe S?
No, but I hate the name. It's stupid.
Well, they would always play off the name. Like their ads were, you're going to Wuv Wuv's, which made a lot of people go, no, I'm not, because I'm not going to go there because your ads are too silly. But they had a couple of those kind of sprinkled around the area.
I don't recall those at all. I do like going, driving to Florida, Lum's were very good.
Oh, so good.
Weren't there hot dogs boiled in beer or something like that?
I think they were. And their beer was brewed in hot dogs. Lum had quite a sense of humor. He was a real rebel. He would just, whatever the standard was, he'd do the exact opposite, that Lum.
He was a real Lum.
He was an absolute Lum, that guy. Yes, he was. Now, you don't count Ferrell's as fast food, do you?
No, but, you know, again, going back to the malls and the clipboards, North Riverside Park had a Ferrell's ice cream parlor.
Yeah.
The home of the zoo. Do you remember what that was?
The zoo was like, was that every flavor of ice cream and every topping? Is that what it was?
Yeah. And I want to know whoever got that because it sounds terrible to me.
There's an ice cream place in Florida. I'm sure they're not the only ones that do it, but it's in Florida and it's called Jackson's, J-A-X-S-O-N-S. And they have a thing called the kitchen sink, which is 32 scoops of ice cream, six different toppings like caramel and pistachio and cherry and stuff. And then they also put like nuts on it and, you know, whatever, green olives, whatever they want to throw in there. Matzo crackers. They'll just find anything they have handy. And their deal is if you can eat the whole thing, you get it for free, but you also die. Yeah, I mean, you can't eat that much. I love ice cream. I can't even watch that much ice cream, much less eat that much ice cream.
Well, you know that I don't like my foods to mix.
Right.
That's why I was such a huge fan of the TV dinner. And I would be very upset if while cooking, my apple cranberry crisp would leak into the mashed potatoes or something.
Yeah.
I like things separated. I make a toast dam when I do eggs over easy because yeah. I don't like the yolk to run into my hash browns. And so that ice cream item you mentioned, even a banana split is too much for me because it's like I think you have pineapple, chocolate, or pineapple hot fudge and something else. Isn't there like three different toppings on a banana split?
I think there is, yeah.
I
think that's standard.
I don't like to mix my toppings. I don't like to mix my meat at Subway unless it's bacon. Bacon can go
right.
with anything, but like
right.
ham and turkey, mm-mm. And the only thing I did do last night at Andy's Frozen Custard was an Ozark Turtle sundae because you can mix caramel and chocolate. That's the only exception.
Works. Yeah.
But
see, I'm like that with almost any food also, but for some reason, ice cream, not every flavor blends with every other flavor, but a lot of times I'll stack the flavors in such a way where I say, if that mixes with that, I think we got two good flavors, you know, all at one time. But with most foods, I'm not as particular as you are, but I don't like, yeah, you know, foods are different foods for a reason. You don't have to eat them. I know they end up in the same place, but I don't need them displayed in the same way.
No, and a lot of times I will eat like the item first. Like I will eat all my vegetables, then I'll mm-hmm. have the mashed potatoes. I guess, I don't know. I like to clear things off in a pattern.
Now, would you do this? One of my dad's best friends, Jerry, you know Jerry, would you send food back? We were in restaurants with Jerry. This happened more than once where the foods were touching and he was so against it that he would send them. He would say to the waiter or waitress, I can't have the foods touch. You got to redo it. And then they would. I think they would just put it on a different plate, but
yeah.
they told him it was new.
Yeah, that's a little too extreme. I mean, because you know, most times they do overlap a little bit.
Right, right.
He sent it back.
But it bothered him to the... Wait, say that again?
He sent it back for that reason?
Yeah, he would send it back. And I have to say, I was never in a place where they were upset. Every time I ever saw him do it, it was only like three or four times over the years, but they were very understanding. Like way more than I would have been. Like they go, oh, we get it. We've seen this before. We'll take. Wendy was just in here 2 weeks ago. We know what we're doing.
Well, back then the customer was always right.
Right. Remember those days?
No.
Now it's the customer's right every now and then. Not that often.
Exactly. And speaking about mixing ice cream flavors, which you love ice cream, so I think you would deal with many different flavors coming together just because you really are an ice cream fiend.
I love it.
I could live without it. I could never have it again and be okay. But the original Rainbow Cone, they have been teaming together with Bona Beef, and they have their ice cream truck that will go out in front of a Bona Beef in various areas. And there was one somewhere near us, so Michael and I went on a journey to go get it, and the line was so long, we're like, screw this noise, and we actually drove to the original Rainbow Cone on the south side.
Did you really?
Yeah, it was like a 35-minute drive, and Michael and I were going to have the original Rainbow Cone. We were going to bring some home, so I brought a cooler and some ice bags so I could bring it home for
Dylan
and Jim. Yep. And
that was nice.
That is like crazy. crazy mixture. Like, I don't typically like artificial cherry flavors, but there's like a cherry walnut in there with there's a cherry with a pistachio with an orange with a chocolate. And for some reason, that is a magical combination.
Yeah, it blends well together. And the orange, I think, is the only one that's a sherbet. Sherbet, I know legally, but I always said sherbet. I think the others are ice cream, but that's the only sherbet or sherbet in the group. And it does. It mixes well with the others.
Surprisingly, because that is just not really my specialty is mixing flavors. But boy, does that work.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, remember when we were kids, everybody's grandmother got Neapolitan ice cream?
Yes, and being Italian, we had it frequently, and it sucked a duck.
It's not good. You know, I've never had a Neapolitan ice cream that I've walked away going, that was the right flavor. That I really chose wisely with the Neapolitan. Because if you like one of those flavors, and I do, I like all three of them, it doesn't mean they go good together. There's plenty of food out there that just because you like it, you wouldn't mix it with another food, you know?
Yeah, but at your house, did your brother, like mine, take all the chocolate out so you'd go to have some and there would be just vanilla and strawberry and you'd be like, that son of a... Mm.
Yeah, that was a common occurrence. Now, my mother-in-law, my wife Terry's mother, who's no longer with us, she didn't know there was any flavor other than vanilla until she was in college.
Get out of here.
No, it's true. Because her parents only brought vanilla ice cream home, and she never did the grocery shopping with them. So when she was in college and she went to stores and she saw that there was a multitude of flavors, she couldn't believe it. Now, if that was me, I would have never spoken to my parents again, ever. That would have been the end of our relationship that day.
But given the choice of vanilla and chocolate, I would take vanilla.
I'm okay with it depends on my mood. No, it's funny because I damned everything about Neapolitan ice cream, but if you're going soft serve, that zebra cone, you know, that half chocolate, half vanilla swirl, that's delightful.
Yeah.
It really works, you know?
By the way, the original rainbow cone consists of five curiously distinct flavors, according to their website.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate, strawberry, Palmer House. Do you know what Palmer House is?
I'm not sure what that is. What is that?
It's New York vanilla with cherries and walnuts.
So they already had vanilla, but they did a second version of vanilla?
Well, you have chocolate, strawberry, Palmer House, pistachio, and orange sherbet.
Oh, okay.
So the Palmer House.
So just one vanilla.
Yeah, because the Palmer House is vanilla ice cream with cherries and walnuts mixed into it. And I think I said pistachio because I was shopping on Zappos.com.
I like
earlier.
The way they dressed it up by calling it. Didn't they dress it up, though, by calling it Palmer House?
Yeah, but now I got to know where Palmer House was. Is it because the Palmer House served that?
Maybe they served it. My family didn't have a lot of money for ice cream, so we would always get a flavor called Days In. And it tasted like an ashtray. But what did we know? We loved it.
God, we stayed at so many Days Inns. Are they still around?
I don't think they're still around. Like when we were real little, they were called 8 Days In.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think people were getting confused thinking, but we were just going to stay for 2. What do we do now? So they just changed it to Days In.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because the sign used to have that big oval on top with the number 8 in it and then Days In written underneath. And then I don't know if the ovals kept breaking, but all of a sudden they were just called Days In instead of 8 Days In. It revolutionized travel. That's what it did.
We did the Howard Johnsons a lot. That was our big motor lodge.
The aqua and orange.
Yes. And you liked
Can't
it
go wrong.
Because of a football team.
The Miami Dolphins have the same color scheme as Howard Johnson's. Why wouldn't Howard Johnson's be a sponsor of the Dolphins? The same color scheme. It would have been easy.
Hey, speaking of football, did you watch, first let's start with Monday Night Football. Did you watch that at all?
No.
I didn't either, because I don't care.
No.
All right, second question, did you watch the Bears game?
I watched less than 5 minutes, but toward the end.
I feel like I'm a terrible Chicagoan because I didn't feel like watching it.
Oh, that's all right.
I didn't watch any of it, and I should have. It was the opening game. The results were better than anticipated.
Yeah, they had quite a comeback in the fourth quarter. They actually looked like the Bears of old for three quarters, and then in the fourth quarter, somebody reminded them that it's better to have more points than less. So they all of a sudden, they just, okay, we can work with that. And it was quite a comeback in the fourth quarter. The problem is, and I don't mind doing this, I was switching back and forth between the Cubs game and the White Sox game and then the Bears for a few minutes. And they just, I don't know, they were down and I'm like, I don't need to see this. So I stuck with the two baseball games.
And didn't the Cubs have a big monumental day that day?
Yeah. I got to tell you, Alec Mills, the Cubs pitcher, a very unlikely candidate for a no-hitter, threw a no-hitter a few days ago. And I know I've told you this before, and it bothered me that I'm aware of it while it's happening. We have four TVs in our house, right? The smallest one is in our kitchen. We just have a very, very small TV that's basically used if Terry's in there cooking and there's a show on, or, you know, she could record something and it's on. And that's the only reason we have it's like the smallest TV available.
Wait a minute. Terry cooks now?
Nah, she, you know, with the COVID, Wendy, there's been a lot more opportunity to stay home and prepare food. So she's done a fine job. I'm reading a prepared statement. Hold on. My wife, Terry, has done a fine job of nourishing and feeding our family. We hope this continues for many days to come.
Because I know she's not a big cooker, you know.
She doesn't really enjoy it. We've always been a fan of bringing food in from other sources, but these, as any Subaru commercial will tell you, these are unprecedented times.
All right. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
So I come in the fourth inning and Alec Mills has a no hitter. And my goal is to just quickly move through the house to the bigger TV, but I see that it's a no hitter. It's the fifth inning. And I go, well, now I'm stuck, because if I leave this room and I watch this on another television, he'll lose his no-hitter and it's my fault. And this bothers me because I'm not generally a superstitious person, but when it comes to sporting events, and I did it with the White Sox no-hitter with Lucas Giolito three or four weeks ago, where if I start watching it on a TV and things are working, I feel like I could somehow change the outcome by switching rooms.
Wow, you think you're more powerful than you are.
It's ridiculous, because I'm smarter than that. I can see through ruses like that, but then I go, but I cannot, I mean, seriously, my goal was to turn on the TV, see the score, and leave to go to the better room to watch the living room's got it's the size of the Bel Air drive-in, the TV in there, but I couldn't do it. I watched the last five innings in the kitchen.
Well, you brought him luck.
I guess so. But what an exciting game. And think about this. This is a short season, a 60-game season. There have been two no-hitters in Major League Baseball, one for the Cubs, one for the White Sox.
That's pretty impressive.
It's amazing. Any other year, if this wasn't an asterisk season where everybody's going, well, all bets are off because it's just at 60, you know, it's 60 games. It's not 162 games. If this was a regular season, we'd be the talk of the sports world. The White Sox have just been phenomenal. They are the most fun team in baseball to watch right now. You picked this out 2 years ago. I don't know if you remember this, but you said, best thing about watching the White Sox is they're just enjoying themselves. And they are.
Yeah, they are having fun.
Oh, although it's so much fun to watch.
It is more fun when you're winning, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
You're capable of having more fun. So going back to Monday Night Football, I want to talk about this. Robert Feeder wrote about it, and I did more research. ESPN's Maria Tyler actually made her Monday Night Football debut. She had been doing other sporting things. She is a veteran college football reporter, NBA host. She was on the call for the Pittsburgh Steelers win over the New York Giants.
Yeah.
She's really good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Taylor had to deal with a crude sexist comment from a radio host on Twitter during the game. Dan McNeil, a Chicago radio host, made a sexist comment about Taylor's outfit on Twitter during Monday night's game. And here's what he said. And I quote Dan McNeil, NFL sideline reporter or a host for the AVN annual awards presentation. Now, first of all, I don't know AVN. What AVN meant at first.
Adult Video News. Right.
Okay. So evidently you and Dan McNeil are subscribers.
Well, Dan and I have been presenters at their gala ball every year. And it's not the kind you think.
Right. All right. So did you see what she was wearing?
I only saw a portion of it from like the neck up. The source I read the story on only showed her picture from the neck up. Was it very revealing?
No. And I wish I could text this to you now, but you cannot Skype through your phone and get a text at the same time.
I'd get an electric shock.
But I will send it to you.
Right.
It's a pair of black tight-fitting pants, maybe leggings, something like that.
Yeah.
And she has a leather jacket on that is off the shoulder. It's exposing mm-hmm. her shoulders, but she has like a black tank top underneath. And yeah. it is very stylish,
yeah.
and it looks very good. And how dare he say that?
Yeah, it's tough. I haven't seen it, so I can't comment on it. You know, it's too bad. You know, I like Dan a lot. I know he had to take. He's a nice guy. He really is. He's always been very nice to me. I'm sure he would rethink that. You know, you have to be so incredibly careful now, you know, because everything's under scrutiny. Anything you say or write is under scrutiny now. So I'm sure if he had to do it over again, he probably would do it differently. He took that post down after like a half an hour, right?
Yes, but I got to be honest with you, Bill. I don't know that he'd do it differently. And everybody has a right to their opinion. But here's where I'm going to stand up for women out there. Mm-hmm. When I first read the story, and there is a link in Feeder Story to click on to see her picture. I wish I could. I'm going to try texting it to you right now.
But you know what? Let me stop you for a second, and I'm sorry to, but I don't want to lose this train of thought. It's unfortunate that even though I haven't seen it, that's part of the equation because it shouldn't be. What's really a test here is whether or not someone has the right to comment on somebody being dressed or not dressed properly for the job. And, you know, he's insinuating that, you know, it's a much more sultry atmosphere than it should be. And it's too bad that we're judging those words based on how she was dressed, because that shouldn't be part of it.
I don't know if you can look at your phone. I just texted it to you. I can hang up and wait for my response.
No, I don't know how to do any of that, but I'll find it online.
All right. Let me just describe one more time. It is just black form-fitting pants. I can't see the very bottom, so I'm assuming she has boots on. She's a really cool dresser. She really is. And this black leather, it's a black leather biker jacket, but it's cut differently where it's off the shoulder. And she looks really stylish. When I originally read the story in Feeder's column, I thought, was she exposing too much? Was she wearing J-Lo's dress that shows the two girls standing side by side?
Yeah.
It's not anything revealing other than shoulders, and it's really classy, and it's hip. And
yeah.
That's what frustrates me. Like, if she was wearing a bikini top, maybe that wouldn't be appropriate. But her comment on this is, women can wear whatever they feel confident in. And I totally agree. If she wanted to wear something more revealing, I think in her head she'd go, you know what? I don't know if that's appropriate. If I'm covering a beach volleyball game, then yeah, maybe I'll wear a bikini top. But this is, it's just cool. It's not your typical boring lady pantsuit.
I found a picture of it. She looks fantastic.
Is it because it's leather that he thought maybe the, you know, adult film world would...
It's possible, but I do have to admit, I've seen Dan McNeil wear this same exact outfit on more than one occasion, and he also looks splendid in it. I guess, Yeah, I guess that you'd write it off as a lot of leather, but she looks magnificent. I don't know.
And it's not like revealing. It shows her shoulders. I'm so sick of guys commenting on what women wear.
Sure, I know.
You know, a lot of the guys will be wearing a suit because that's what men wear when they dress up. A woman has more flexibility in her choices. I mean, look at news anchors on television. You know, a guy wears a black or navy or maybe a gray suit, and then a woman has a colored dress on or something bright. It's, you know, women should be able to wear what they want without getting bad juju thrown their way.
Right. Yeah. You know, you and I both know a lot of women on the television side, and even people that you and I have worked with on radio who have either filled in on TV or just did, you know, a little burst here and there on TV. And they've told the same story over and over again, that most of the correspondence, you know, most of the emails or texts, or back when there were letters or phone calls, had to do with how they looked and what they were wearing, not their ability as a reporter. And, you know, that's an unfair reality. It just, you know, it's too bad that, you know, in the peanut-sized brain that men have, that's all we can focus on sometimes. And it shouldn't be that way, but it is.
It shouldn't. And I like Dan McNeil, too. And I just, you know, I just feel like he took it down because he was getting comments and didn't want to deal with it. And I don't know. I just, it frustrates me because it's not like, she just looks really sharp. And I started looking at Maria Taylor's outfits, and they're all kind of very hip and happening. She's beautiful. Yeah. She's very talented. And it's like, you know, why do men have to see women on the sidelines as a distraction? You know what? Enjoy what you're seeing and enjoy what you're listening to.
I agree with you. And to hopefully illustrate your point, and I know this will, what I'm about to say will sound, this will be the most un-American thing you hear me say all week. I've never understood cheerleaders, because in all honesty, if they weren't there, the crowd would still figure out when to cheer. You know what I mean? We're not basing our cheering or lack of cheering solely on the women with the pom-pons. We're basing on the fact that the game is very exciting and we want the team to score and we want the field goal to be blocked. That's why we're cheering, not because you're dancing, but because there's a sexist twist to sports. Somebody at some point said, you better throw 12 scantily clad women on the side because these people are going to lose interest if we don't.
All right, what about high school cheerleaders? Are those
all
okay?
All for it. Bring it on, I say. In my head, I always put it to the fact that when they were planning students' extracurricular activities, they go, hey, guys can do this, they can do this, they can do this. What about the girls? Make them cheerleaders.
Yeah,
I would feel real cheated if I was a girl going, hey, I want people cheering for me. I don't want to have to lead the cheers for guys. You know?
Yeah. And I mean, like when I was in high school, I played basketball. There was a basketball team. But, you know, years earlier, there weren't very many. I think there was maybe badminton, the girls' badminton team, and that was it. So, yeah, I guess that gave them something to do. But now that I think about it, we didn't have cheerleaders at our game. Why did the boys' basketball team have cheerleaders and we didn't? Why didn't we have some hot Chippendale guys cheerleading for the girls' basketball team?
I think about that for you in high school. I think, you know, the WNBA exists. There's women playing pro basketball. You know, they don't put guys out on the floor acting as cheerleaders for those games. Why wouldn't you?
I think Maria Taylor is a former WNBA player too.
Oh, is she? I didn't know that.
I think so.
I didn't know that. Yeah. It's strange the way that played out. But I know that anyone broadcasting right now, or even, you know, just sending tweets or texts or whatever, has to be extra special careful, because the potential to offend is always there, you know?
But why do you have to comment on it? I know you were talking about this earlier, but more specifically, with newscasters, men and women. Remember that guy, like, there was an experiment and he had the same suit on for 2 weeks.
I know.
No one said anything about that, but then someone would say, oh, that girl wore that dress last week. Don't you have a budget to buy better clothes or something?
Right.
I mean, you know, I guess as long as we're on the planet, guys are going to look at women and judge them, whether out loud or to themselves.
Well, guys are going to do it. And to some extent, remember, you know, the show that Joan Rivers did where, was it called Fashion Police? Was that what it was called?
I think so, yeah.
Where, you know, if there was an event, if there was, you know, some sort of an awards ceremony or a movie premiere or something, she would either be there or they would run footage and she'd go, oh my God, look, Anne Hathaway wore that on purpose? What is she thinking? You know, and that was the whole show. And people tuned in to watch her and people like her, you know, just pretty much bash what women were wearing. And honestly, you and I have been a part of it too. Like if there's the Academy Awards or the Emmy Awards or the Music Awards, they always pick the top best, you know, 10 best dressed. And then they pick 5 or 10 that, you know, forgot what fashion looked like and just threw something on backwards. And, you know, I guess that's part of fame, I guess.
Yeah, but that's different. That's in an award show. And when you want to, you know, turn people's heads, you be like Bjork and wear a swan head on your dress. I mean, she was doing that to get noticed for sure. It was an awards show. But when you're on the sidelines of a football game or you're reporting on a live shot as a news reporter somewhere, I mean, I just feel like women get busted all the time, and it's not fair.
All right. I wish so badly I could name names here, but I can't name names. But someone that you and I worked with at our last job did both radio and television. And she said that the most notes she got from her TV work were people commenting about how great a certain part or parts of her anatomy looked when she would wear a specific dress or top, anyway, not a dress, but a top. And I said, my God, you're kidding. Somebody actually wrote to you. And she goes, oh, not somebody. Dozens of notes from people saying, please wear that more often. It really shows off, ..
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I would stop reading my mail if that was the kind of letter I was getting.
I just don't think it's fair. And, you know, here's the thing, too. It's like, a woman can be both beautiful and talented and funny. You know,
yes.
I feel like, you know, Melissa McCarthy, people were saying, oh, yeah, she's heavy, so that's why she's funny. You can be all of the above.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be like, okay, you're, you know, heavy and funny, or you're beautiful and stupid. I mean,
it,
you know, women are way better than you guys give us credit for.
Wendy, let me say two words to you. Bonnie Franklin.
From One Day at a Time fame?
Yes.
All right, what about her?
I just wanted to say the words Bonnie and Franklin. And I'm glad I did. I'm glad I was brave enough to say those words because I didn't think I would get them out, but I did. I pulled it off somehow.
And you're always like on the women's side too, so it's not like I'm saying you're a male chauvinist pig, Billy Riggs.
Trust me when I tell you, I was on the women's. I've always been that way, but especially once we had the girls, because I can't tell you how many times. I'll give you a quick example. Last year, we were all in New York. We were visiting Kylie in New York. So Reese and Terry and I went to New York. And we're walking down a street in New York, and I'm in the last position. I'm in the rear.
Bringing anyway, up the rear.
Yes. Yes, I was. I like to think I was. And we turn this corner, and we're walking down the street, and there's these two guys just standing on the street walking, you know, talking to each other. And as my wife and two daughters pass, they both do that New York stereotype thing where they stop talking and they move back to behold the three sights that are passing them. And then they give each other a look like, huh, how about that? And I'm like, oh my God, if you're a woman, that's part of your day every day is guys just judging you, guys staring at you and deciding that, yeah, how about that? And it made me sick. I wanted to say something, you know, like what do you guys not have mothers or daughters or wives? What's wrong with you?
And that's why women should be able to wear whatever they feel confident and comfortable in, because it's their business.
Yes.
You know, Billie Eilish was wearing that really big, baggy designer stuff. It was like, I don't know if it was Gucci or if it was Yves Saint Laurent or...
Yves Saint Laurent.
I just like to get you going on those. But she was wearing big, baggy clothing because she just didn't want to... focus on any body part. It was like, you know, I don't want to be a sex object or something. I just want to be me. And then she started wearing more tailored stuff. And it's like, what, should women be walking around in burlap sacks?
I know. Well, what's difficult is, just as a human being, I'm not even going to say as a guy, you like to compliment people, you know? If somebody's wearing a color or a style or something that you like to say, boy, do you look nice, but everything's complicated now, you know?
I think women would be fine with, oh, wow, that's a great outfit, as opposed to you look like you should be a presenter at the Adult Video Network Awards or whatever.
But I feel like now if I'm going to compliment somebody, I feel like there's forms that need to be filled out. You know, I feel like I have to, I go, can you initial at the bottom of these three pages? And then I'll say something nice about your shirt. I just want to cover all my bases.
Well, you have to stop making those little squeezing motions with your hands when you're complimenting them.
And doing the old car horn that, ow, ow, you can't do that anymore.
Right.
There was a time when that was perfectly acceptable, but not anymore. I would love to see what that would be met with if somebody did that now. I would love to see that.
Why don't you do it later this afternoon on the tennis courts and report back to us tomorrow?
All right. I'm sure it'll go well.
If it doesn't, I can always podcast with Dan McNeil tomorrow.
That would be the funniest thing, is to just do this, the start of the show tomorrow, and he's here for me, and you just go, wait, what happened? McNeil, I can't talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. So what do you think will happen? Will there be a fine, a punishment, a stern talking to? What will happen now?
I don't know. I kind of almost hope he doesn't get suspended for it. I hope he learns from this. And, you know, sometimes it's safer to leave your thoughts in your head instead of letting them out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if he was on the sidelines right next to her, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't say that right to her face. It's easy to do it from, you know, when you're armchair quarterbacking, it's easy to just tweet something out.
Right. But you don't think he thought that this would bring him any kind of national attention? I mean, I know that she, even Maria Taylor, has commented on it. And well, you read it earlier about what her thoughts were. So he wasn't doing this for attention. He was just doing it to try to be witty, right? That's what he was going for, wasn't it?
That's what I think. You know, I'm going to try and tweet out to Taco Bell later about getting rid of the Mexican pizza, and I wish it would go national so I could save the Mexican pizza, but I don't think he had that intention that it would go national like this.
But this is, like, people always go, oh, you should be on Twitter. How come you're not on Twitter? But this is one of the reasons, is I'm always afraid that even if I meant something, you know, in the best possible light, that somebody could read it incorrectly. And, you know, this tweet was exactly what it was. It was him saying, here's a girl working for Monday Night Football who looks like she's a presenter at an adult award ceremony. That's exactly what it was. But anything could be taken either out of context or, you know, a little bit more angrily than you mean it, or in any direction, not even angrily. But I can't tell you how many times I've thought of something like, oh, I would love to say this on our podcast or put it on Facebook. But I'm like, there's a certain percentage of people that would see it the wrong way, and I don't want to do that.
Okay, well, first of all, his comment could not be taken out of context. The context was there.
Yeah.
Second of all, you wouldn't put a comment like that. That's just, you wouldn't.
Well, yeah. No, but not like that, but I can't tell you how many times over the years, and I know you do this too, when we're doing either a regular radio show or a podcast, where something comes to your mind and you're like, I don't know if the risk and the reward of me saying this or writing this is worth it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? And then my game is then usually to trick you into saying it.
You do that all the time, and I fall for it. I should know your M.O. Yeah. by this point, but I don't.
My Mo. Yeah. There's no question about it. There's no doubt about it. Wendy, I have to tell you, and this is sad that we're out of time because I wanted to do this today, but I will certainly do this tomorrow. I have some news about my cousin Larry.
I've been dying to know how Larry's doing.
Larry's doing fine, and I have some news. I have some other news. I hinted at this last week, and it's not news that I can share with you today or tomorrow, but the cousin Larry news is huge also, and I'm going to tell you what it is on our next podcast, and I think it's going to throw you a little bit.
You are the biggest tease. Like, when you can say something, then you should just say it. You shouldn't just go, I've got something I want to share with you, but I can't do it now.
Well, I wanted you and anybody listening to know this is coming. I didn't want anyone to be blindsided because I don't often have big cousin Larry news, but when I do have some, it's what the kids call a game changer.
So, you know, set an alarm to listen to our podcast tomorrow.
I wouldn't even listen to this one. I would wait until the next one because the cousin Larry news is going to be something that the kids will be talking about for generations.
I can't wait. You've left me in huge suspense.
Oh my gosh. I didn't mean to do that. It's just a warning for everybody's safety. All right. That's it for another episode, episode 73. If you're a collector, we'll be back tomorrow with more hijinks by Wendy.
See you, Bill.